Good morning, friends. It's always good to be with you, and it's good to be with you today. As you've just heard, Wednesday begins that time of preparation for followers of Christ around the world as they prepare themselves for Easter. And it's a journey they call the journey of Lent. And to help you on that journey, and you may want to know this, Mosaic have put together really a lovely, lovely booklet. It has daily readings, a reflection, a prayer for 40 days from this Wednesday right through to the Easter weekend. And you may want to, as you leave the auditorium, you may want to get one for yourself. If we could ask you maybe one per family, that would be appreciated. It's also up on the website. So please don't forget to take yours. And then if you could reach out into your bulletin, inside that bulletin there is a leaflet which has a reading that I want to begin with, but I'm also going to use some other readings, and I always invite you to make a note of the different readings so that during the week you're able maybe just to go back to these readings and look at them again. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 11 as we begin our sermon series through the eyes of Christ. Looking through the eyes of Christ. And today we look through the eyes of Christ at the reality that we call God. Listen to the words that Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." That's a very big God. Lord of heaven and earth. No one greater. "Because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." "Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things," that leaves nothing out, "all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And so we thank God so much for these words that come to us from Christ today. And we pray that through these words, Christ may speak to us today a living word. I want to begin today with a far-reaching question. And the question is this. Friends, what do you honestly think about God? Or to put it another way, who is God for you today? Someone who's for you or against you? Someone who's far away or near? Someone who is passive or someone who is active? Who is God for you? I don't know if this name means anything to you. A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R. He was one of the great, great devotional writers of the last century. So it's only those of us over the age of 60 who may remember him. And he had many wonderful things to say, many helpful things. But one of the most striking things that he ever wrote were these words, and I just want to quote them to you from memory. He wrote these words. He said, the single most important thing about a human being, about you and me, the single most important thing about you and me is what comes into our minds when we hear the word God. Now, you may be saying under your breath, Trevor, that's quite a massive claim. And it is. It is. But I believe he is spot on. Our understanding of who God is shapes our whole life forever. Our understanding of who God is determines the way we relate to God. It determines the way we relate to ourselves. It determines the way we relate to other people. It determines how we behave every day. It determines how we live in this world on a daily basis. Our understanding of God shapes who we are and how we live. And that is why there is nothing more important about you or about me than what comes into our mind when I say the word God. And that is also why, let me say this very quickly, that is also why wrong thinking about God has terrible, terrible consequences. Now it's against this backdrop that I want us this morning, I want us to look at God through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ. These were very powerful words, weren't they, which Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 11, and they will come up again. Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Now watch this. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Those words remind us of the breathtaking claim of the Christian faith. The Christian faith affirms that if you really want to know what God is like, look in the direction of Jesus Christ. That in Jesus Christ, God is uniquely and supremely revealed. That in Jesus' words and deeds, His life, His death, His resurrection, we catch a glimpse of who God really is. And that's why, just for a few moments now, just for a few moments, I want us to look at God through the eyes of His Son, Jesus. To begin with, let's begin here. When we look at God through the eyes of Jesus, we begin to see that God is utterly, utterly good and beautiful. There's a moment in Matthew's gospel, do you remember it, when a rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says to Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Watch Jesus' answer. Look at it in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Look at this. Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. That when we look through the eyes of Jesus, we catch a glimpse of a God who is utterly, utterly good. If I were to ask you to come with me to a Methodist church in one of the townships, I'm sure some of you are saying, I'm so glad you don't ask me. But if I could take you, there is often a moment in worship that goes like this, where the minister says to the congregation, God is good. And then the whole congregation respond, all the time. And then the minister says, all the time. And then the congregation respond, God is good. Can I turn you into Methodists for 30 seconds? Okay. And we do it very, very loudly and strongly. We say, God is good all the time. Then I say, all the time, God is good. Okay, ready? God is good.
All the time?
You make good Methodists. But let's be honest. There are some moments in life when it's easy to say God is good. Huh? The boss calls you in and says, man, you've been doing well, 20% rise in salary. God is good. God is good. You go to the doctor and get your blood tests back. Negative. God is good. God is good. You've been longing for a child. You do a pregnancy test. You're pregnant. God is good. God is good. The Lions get back into Super 14 rugby. God is good. God is good. As well as miraculous. But life doesn't always work out like that. There come moments when life falls apart, when things happen that we don't want to happen, when we don't get the news that we long for, when our lives are marred by accident and tragedy and suffering and death. I'm walking across the car park on Thursday night in Benoni, and I meet Janet. I've known Janet for 21 years. 21 years. I know that she longs for a partner. She's a single woman. And I say to her, and I know this, and I say to her, Janet, how are things going? Really, really, how are things going? She says, not good. And then she says these words, you know, she says to me, Trib, you know, it almost seems as if God blesses every one of my friends except me. And so she has this feeling, felt feeling, that God's goodness stretches out to others, but it misses her. And maybe you're in that place right now. And I want to invite you. Can I do that? Even as I invite myself to look at God through the eyes of Jesus. And when I do, it invites me into a deep, deep, ruthless trust. And I say to God, God, even though life is not working out the way I want it, even though I cannot understand what is happening in me and around me, God, I'm going to trust that you are good. And I'm going to trust that you are working out your good purposes in my life forever. God, I'm going to trust you. It's a ruthless trust. And so today, I ask you to look at God through the eyes of Jesus and to allow the Spirit of God today to call you, to invite you, to draw you into a deep, ruthless trust. But can I say something else? When we look at God through the eyes of Jesus, we begin to see that God loves us and accepts us unconditionally, no strings attached. one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It's one of the verses you know. Some people say this verse summarizes the whole of the New Testament, maybe the whole of Scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16. Look at it carefully, carefully. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Notice quickly what this verse does not say. Let's go back to the beginning. It does not say, "For God was so angry with the sinful, messy world that He sends His Son into this world to condemn this world and to get us to shape up or we've had it." That's not what the text says. It says that when God sees the mess and the pain and sees our sinfulness, God comes to us. God pours out His love to us in Jesus Christ. Pours it out. Again, let's be honest. I think it's very hard sometimes to accept that God loves me and accepts me as I am. It's not easy. I've not found it easy. We live in a performance-based culture. You get what you deserve. Love is something you've got to earn. You've got to achieve. You've got to deserve. Almost, the whole advertising world is based on that premise. If you wear this, if you smell like this, if you look like this, then maybe, that important person will love you. And here comes God into this performance-based world and says to us in Jesus Christ, "I love you with a love that will never ever let you go. And I accept you." I'm not going to do any emotional striptease on stage here at all, but at the age of 30, I entered a journey of therapy with a wonderful psychiatrist, the head of the Wits Medical School, in deep pain and distress. And as we chatted and we spoke for years, I began to realize that deep down I felt I needed to earn God's love. I needed to earn it. And it was driving me crazy. And I was never good enough, and I had never done enough. And slowly over the years, the Spirit of God is helping me to accept the wonderful gospel that I am God's beloved. Can you accept that today? Can you accept that? That you are loved with a love that will never, ever let you go. That there's nothing that you can do that can make God love you more. There's nothing that you can do that can make God love you less. Nothing. Can you accept that today? Can I say one more thing? When we look at God through the eyes of Jesus, we begin to see that God is fiercely, fiercely opposed to human sin and human evil. You know, I think sometimes you can, in the Bible, you can go to all the nice passages and leave out some of the hard ones. And Jesus has some very challenging things to say about God. Here is one of them. John chapter 3, verse 37. Whoever believes in the Son, whoever gives himself to the Son, whoever follows the Son, that person has eternal life. They enter into a new quality of life. But whoever rejects the Son, Whoever rejects the way of Christ will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Let me speak carefully, very carefully. When we speak about God's wrath, it doesn't mean God is like angry all the time, losing his cool, throwing his toys out of his cot. That is human wrath. It's not God's wrath. God's wrath is a function of God's love. Because God loves us and loves the world, and because God wants the best for us, God is fiercely opposed to anything that spoils our lives, that spoils our relationships, that spoils our country. And that is the kind of God I can love. God doesn't just say, "Ach, it doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter." When an 18-year-old woman, Anine Boyson, gets raped and killed in this country, God's wrath rests upon that action. God is fiercely opposed to human sin and human evil. And that is why I think it's so important for us to enter into a deep confession about our own sin and evil before God. Not to focus too much on other people's sin and evil, but to deal with my own. I was taught often, you know, Trevor, you must love the sinner, but you must hate their sin. I'm not sure that Jesus said that. What Jesus said was this: love the sinner, but Trevor, hate your sin. Deal with your heart and your evil. I'm lying in bed with Debbie. Just to make things clear, Debbie is the person I'm married to. And she wakes up and she walks around the foot of the bed. And as she's walking, I reach out for my BlackBerry. I want to check the latest scores. And so I'm looking at my BlackBerry. And as she stands at the bottom of the bed, she says to me, "Trevor, you know, last night I had a very important insight into my body and what I'm going through at the moment with my health." I continue looking at my BlackBerry. And then she says to me, "Trevor, I'm not going to tell you unless you put that BlackBerry down." Now you would expect me, wouldn't you? Preacher, pastor, Christ follower for 40 years. You would expect me to say, "Debbie, thanks for your challenge. Thanks for pointing out my character flaw. Thank you. I really, really appreciate it." Do you know what I do and what I say? I continue looking at the BlackBerry. And I say to her, "Well, then don't tell me if you don't want to." That's the darkness in my heart. That's the depth of my ugliness. And it's almost a few moments later, I hear a little voice, and I'm sure it's the Spirit of God that says, "Trevor, confession is the way to reconnect." Confession. And that's the moment when I've got to say to God, God, I confess my sin, my evil. I confess my lovelessness, my inability to love deeply. I confess my deceit, my greed, my racism. I confess it, Lord. And I pray that your holy love will burn and transform my heart until it looks like yours. Holiness is essential to wholeness. Holiness is essential to wholeness. Let me end. Has this been helpful? The most important thing about you and me is what we think about God. The most important thing. It shapes our whole life and it determines our eternal future. And I'm praying this morning that as we begin to look at God through the eyes of Jesus, we will find ourselves in a new way, trusting the goodness of God. Trusting it. Anticipating every moment of the day that God's goodness is going to come towards me. Every moment of the day, I'm trusting that. That God is good. All the time, God is good. And I'm trusting that, even when it's dark and life falls apart. And I want to accept the unconditional love and acceptance of God into my life deeply, to know that I'm God's beloved. And I want to live like that every day in that knowledge. I'm loved and accepted unconditionally. Don't have to earn my love, says God. Don't have to buy it, achieve it, get brownie points. And I hope that each day I will confess the depth of my sin and my evil, so that God's holy love can burn up the stuff in me and make me a little bit more like Christ. I invite you today to discover the God that Jesus introduces us to. Let's pray together. God, we speak about deep things here on a Sunday. And today we just want to catch a glimpse of you. We want to catch a glimpse of your goodness. We want to catch a glimpse of your grace, your unconditional love and acceptance. We want to catch a glimpse of your holiness, your fierce opposition to that which spoils human life. We want to open our lives to you. Draw us, Spirit of God, today. Draw us into a deep, ruthless trust. Draw us into a wide open heart to your love and acceptance. Draw us into a deep confession of our own sin and of our own evil, that we may be transformed, God, into the likeness of your Son, Christ Jesus. This is our prayer. This is the deep, deep longing of our heart. And we offer it to you in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And we say together as God's people, Amen. May the joy of Christ be with you. Take care, friends.